Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're here in the studio with Beth and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And we're going on with more on humility, which we were last time. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, and so today we'll be discussing two parables. And Jesus just teaches us such great lessons in these parables, one on the persistent widow and the other on the Pharisees and the tax collectors. And we'll be in Luke 18, 1 through 14.
Yeah, it's a good section, that's for certain. And Sandy was saying before we started that she was under a lot of conviction with it. And it's like, wow, it must be going around because I'm dealing with the same thing. Luke is known for writing about prayer. He is the gospel writer that really captures Christ's heart for prayer. He has seven moments that he really focuses in and says that Jesus prayed. But he is also the one that writes out three parables that Jesus uses to teach on prayer. And so today we're actually going to look at two of those parables. And so they're fun to listen to, fun to ponder, and good stories for us to have kind of underneath our belt, something you could share on the elevator or whatever, you know, hey, it reminds me of a story kind of thing. But in this particular section, what we need to know is that Jesus has been dealing with the persistence of the crowd pressing in. And he has faithfully been seeking out opportunities to teach the disciples about leadership. And they have just come through different circumstances where the disciples had asked him, will you increase our faith? Mm-hmm. And then he goes in and he's trying to help them to understand that they have a responsibility to serve, that they have a duty, that they have within them the power of him. Literally, the Christ is in them. And so that if they told a mulberry tree to get up, it would unroot. And so he's taught them that. And then a Pharisee at some point comes and asks him, well, you know, about the kingdom of God. And he begins to tell them that the kingdom of God is, it's present. But for those who aren't looking, it's not observable. And that when it happens, when he returns, that, you know, it's going to be, well, he'll return like a thief in the night. So this is all of the stuff that is going through the disciples' minds. Mm-hmm. And as the crowds are surrounding around him now, he looks at them, and after he's told them that his return will be a surprise, he says to them, he said, you know, men ought to pray mm-hmm. and not lose heart. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell this parable. There was a judge who lived in a town, but he did not fear God, and he did not fear man. And in the same town lived a woman who was a widow. And she had gone to this judge, and she said, there's a man who's doing bad things to me. Give me justice. But the judge, he did not want to help the woman. And after a long time, though, he began to think to himself, even though I don't fear God and I don't respect man, this woman bothers me. So if I don't give her what she wants, she's not going to leave me alone. So I might as well give it to her because she is going to wear me out. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, listen to what the judge said. And he said, God's people will cry out to him day and night, and then he will always give to them what is right. He will not be slow in how he answers them. And he said, God will help people quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, what will he find among the people on earth? Who will believe in him? Well, there were some people in the crowds that, you know, they looked down on everyone else. They were prideful. And Jesus used this story to teach them. Once there was a Pharisee and a tax collector, and one day they both went into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, he stood alone away from the tax collector, and he prayed, oh God, I thank you that I am not as bad as so many other people that are greedy and unrighteous and adulterous and not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of everything I have. Well, the tax collector stood alone, and he would not even, look up to heaven. And he was beating his chest. Oh, God, he cried, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, when that man finished his prayer, he went home and he was right with God, but not the Pharisee. So people who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Hmm. May God honor the telling of his word. These are fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm, there's so much here that honestly, how we will get this in 4 weeks is beyond me. And they both have incredible things. But for the moment, I'm just going to have a sit. I already got tears coming. I'm sorry. The fact that Jesus said men ought. Mm-hmm. Let's just stop right there. Men ought. And that comes from the Greek word DEI, day. I'm assuming, I don't know that I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it means it is necessary, there is a need of it, and it's right and proper. It literally is translated must. Men must pray. It is critical. Praying is necessary if we're going to fight against things that we will battle on this earth. Mm-hmm. And I've just been pondering this and all the different things that come into that ought. Men ought to pray. I mean, I have had so many conversations through the years in different times and circumstances, and we sometimes pray, sometimes we don't. I don't know what it is, but there is a struggle with us when it comes to prayer.
Absolutely.
And it's because there's a battle. The enemy doesn't want us to pray. Mm-hmm. And so I put down some verses that we could look up. And so I wanted us to see some places in Scripture that actually tells us we ought to pray. So, Sandy, I want you to look up 1 Chronicles 16:11. Beth, I want you to look up Ephesians 6:18. We'll do those two, and then we'll go to the next three. But Scripture tells us often we ought to pray, and it gives us promises that come with it. It gives us solutions that will come with it. It tells us who we need to pray to. It needs to be obviously to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, through his Son in Jesus' name. That's how Jesus taught us we should pray. So 1 Chronicles 16:11, you got it?
I have it.
Okay, so do you read that for us?
It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore.
Okay, and do Ephesians 6:18.
Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
All right. I had a good friend, Bernadette Cardi, that every week her prayer request on the prayer sheets, when people would be writing needs, the only thing she would write every single week was pray for the saints that they persist. And I was so convicted. I mean, and I was years in a community group with her, and that was her prayer request for years. Mm. Just persist in prayer for the saints, because we all need to be strengthened. Okay, Sandy, open up Philippians 4:6, and Beth, do Colossians 4:2. Okay, so when we did 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So as we are seeking him, it's him that we are wanting the strength to come from, so that we don't have to do circumstances in our strength. And in Ephesians 6:18, we're given the challenge that it has to be through the Holy Spirit in us. That's where the power and authority comes in, is the Holy Spirit in us. And if we take the Word of God and connect that into the circumstances, that makes it more powerful. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I just went on, sorry.
No, but it's perfect.
That's your reward there.
That is your word, yeah. That is. Guard your heart and mind.
Yes. Colossians what?
4:2.
Okay,
Beth's going to...
Okay, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Okay, can I do three?
Yes.
Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. This is why I am here in chains.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're challenged to pray, and we all have different moments that we ought to pray. And here Jesus is giving this to them, because he's just told them that the kingdom of heaven, One, it's observable on mm-hmm. this earth, but his return, it's going to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be something that we can say we know. And then he looks at them and he says, men ought to pray. Mm-hmm. Okay. He is talking to believers, challenging believers in their encouragement to prayer. And so we all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. What does persistent prayer look like? I mean, does that mean that I have to always be on my knees? Help me. What does it look like?
It's a constant conversation. I mean, it's a dialogue. It's always, I mean, I mean, the way I do it, I probably look like a crazy person half the time. But you know how we talk to we have an internal conversation with ourselves. Can't we just have that with God?
Okay, so how did you make that happen in your mind? Because it doesn't come easily. What did you do to make that transition?
I think it was when we were in the Old Testament at one point, and how he wants to be involved in every decision you make, mm-hmm. everything. I mean, what cereal you have, I mean, that can affect your day because it can change your blood sugar. And I mean, there's just all kinds of little things that he wants to be involved in.
Everything.
Everything.
And that's where our faith comes from, because that comes from our trust in the Lord that he's going to answer our prayers, because he does answer our prayers.
He does. And I love that you say that it comes from trust, because mm-hmm. we have to know what the promises are and know that he does answer our prayers mm-hmm. and seeking him. You know, that praying without ceasing, at one point in my life, I felt guilty because I felt like I had this huge pressure on me that I couldn't get it right. That was somehow, I had an hour where I was all about the TV show. I wasn't praying to God. And I'm like, I as a young 20-something-year-old, was confused. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's an issue of we're welcoming God in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so as we are having self-talk, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to focus on things like right now we're here speaking on the radio. You know, you're going to have moments you're going to focus on things. But my self-talk, the times that I have the conversations in my mind, I'm choosing to have my self-talk to turn to conversation mm-hmm. with God instead of talking about myself. And when we go into the Pharisee and the tax collector,
all about I.
Yeah, yep. We'll see that his self-talk, it's not prayer. Mm-mm. He actually is not praying.
Mm-hmm. Self-centeredness.
He is having a self-conversation.
And I've been there.
I think we've all been there.
I do that too. We have to guard ourselves to make sure that that's not what we interpret as prayer.
Right.
And so we want to guard that. And so our prayer should always be where we're working towards having it be where we're focusing in on him, his face.
We always want mm-hmm. it to be his will, not our will.
And his promises. Mm-hmm. And Spurgeon had this really great quote I wrote down. He said, "Too many prayers are like the boys that run away when they've knocked on the door. They have prayed, but they walk away before the door has even been opened." You know
that's
how
good.
Little boys good. Will run and knock, yeah. they'll knock and run away. And that we will pray something and then we'll walk. Well, yeah, but he said little boys. And I don't think they're little. It's probably teenagers.
Probably right.
But we can do that with our prayer. Mm-hmm. And then at another time in my life, I read in the Message, and I can't remember what verse it is, where Eugene Peterson said, you treat prayer like a fast food meal. Mm-hmm. You want to do it as a drive-through, just boom, mm-hmm. be done, instead of taking the time to persist. And so that's how Jesus began this section. He mm-hmm. really wanted them to understand that they ought always to pray. Because when we allow the ought of prayer to become our conversation in our heart and mind with God, we won't lose hope. That is huge. And so I found this, and it just so impacted me. Mattoon Treasury, he said, this is a direct quote. He said, "The reason consistent praying is so important is that it helps to prevent spiritual fainting spells."
I saw that somewhere.
I posted it on Facebook.
Okay, that's where I saw it. Yeah, and I don't get on Facebook very often.
I posted it yesterday on Facebook. I was like, wow. Okay, so when I am faltering and fainting, I'm in a spiritual faint. Get it?
Okay.
Fainting spell. Mm-hmm. I am faltering because he says men ought to pray and not lose hope. Because prayer is what builds hope. And so when we are feeling faint in a situation, a circumstance, it is probably because we have not prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can testify from my own life. So, yeah.
Me too.
And
or we pray about it, but it's one of those ones where we don't have peace in it, so we need to continually giving it up to him. I'm going through a situation like that, and I just,
yeah.
It just comes back on, and I'm like, I already prayed about that.
Yeah.
But he's like, keep going.
Because it depends. There's growth that needs to occur inside me.
Yep.
There's character that needs to happen. There's glory that needs to be revealed. Because a lot of times when the answer is wait, you know, there's a process of glorification taking place that needs to occur in the people and the circumstances that mm-hmm. that God's character is revealed in a greater way. And it's not yet met the fruit of fullness.
Because sometimes, you know, when you're praying for something and it's not happening, I always think, all right, now what lesson in this am I supposed to be learning, or is it for the other person?
Yeah,
because we don't know
exactly. It is crazy.
It is.
Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It's like, help us with that, God. And the word faint comes from the Greek word ekakeo, which means to be utterly spiritless or to lose heart, to be exhausted, to give up, to be wearied out. And what happens when we are not prevailing in prayer is that we become spiritless, that spiritual faint. And so prayer is what gives us the strength we need, because it allows us, from what we saw in the verses we did earlier, it allows us to see the face of God. It allows us to see the promises of God. It allows us to experience and know the character of God,
mm-hmm.
that we can grow and glorify Him. Huge.
Huge.
That's
why?
Huge.
Why?
Why?
Why
are we praying all the time?
Why would I immediately go to a friend instead of going to God?
Yeah, we do that.
And I have a dear professor colleague, Mr. James, that every time he comes to my office and we talk on a circumstance or just campus or whatever, he always goes, let's pray. and I mean, I'm guaranteed every time we've had a conversation, it will end in prayer. And it doesn't matter if we're in the sidewalk walking across campus, he stops right then and we do the prayer. I just love that about
him. He knows that consistency.
And so let that be a part of us, that we ought to pray that we not lose heart. God bless.